Go to Hebrews 4. Seventh day of rest. See, she builds her house of rest because wisdom doesn't operate out of the world system. She operates out of the rest. So if you want the true wisdom, you have to allow her to build that house of rest in you. Amen? And so on the seventh day of rest, she builds that house of rest because that's what how she operates. She doesn't operate by the sweat of the brow. She doesn't operate out of the world system. She operates out of the rest, and we can dwell with her. She builds that. If there's anything that's not in the rest, she'll carve it out. That's good news. Amen? Since we've been talking about the Operation 104, we got a lot of response from this. But the thing is I never encountered this before the right hand of God. I encountered his purgings and things like that, but nothing like this level of power. It's as powerful as his resurrection. You can write that down. His death is as powerful as his resurrection. He's just executing different things. So one thing you have to understand, when he does this, he's doing all of it out of love, but you won't feel that all the time, because when he opens up room in you, it's like opening up something that's been there a long time. And it'll all come out, and you'll feel the feelings of it, the emotions of it, the darkness of it. You'll see it the way he sees it. And for a season, you're supposed to, not a season, for a time, you're supposed to see it, because it's going to produce a level of repentance that's very rare. You cannot manufacture that level of repentance. It's almost a wailing kind of thing. I mean, I've seen people try to manufacture that in the flesh, you know. But it's going to produce that kind because you see it the way he sees it. That level of repentance cleans the house. Amen? And so when that happens, there is that time you're going to see that, but then you can't stay there. And you have a part to play in it. And that's what a lot of people don't understand, why he doesn't actually do that. Because you can literally fall apart if you're not equipped properly to go through a season like this. I've heard of a lot of ministers go through the dark night of the soul, and they come out worse than they did when they went in, because they got trapped in their own darkness and they didn't know how to come out of it. But I've seen different ministers go in, and it opens things. You don't always know there, because God's not fellowshipping with your old man. He's fellowshipping with your new man. Amen? But there comes time to a level of your promotion. You'll come into certain places with God. He'll require the transformation, especially what we're asking for. There's a transformation, because we were led to the Jordan. How many of you know we were led in the Jordan? All the glorious things, wait for the ark to come out. Well, the Lord was led in the same place in the Jordan to be buried in baptism. So I didn't know I was going to fall into a baptism while we were waiting to be called out. But what happened when he came out is when he was commissioned. So a lot of these heavier type things are prefacing a commissioning. And he's going to prepare us for that. Amen? It's an operation that's so powerful. I believe God's going to initiate this more and more for a perfecting phase. Hebrews 4, verse 9. This is part of the winnowing fork. Call it the two-edged sword. You can call it the knife of circumcision. It's all the same thing. The axe laid at the root of the tree. They are separate functions, but it's the same operation from our high priest. Amen? It said, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that entereth into his rest, the Lord's rest, has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. That's him building that seventh day of rest. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful. Yes, it is. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Yes, it is. His sword's like already been in the fire before he starts cutting, so it's full of fire when it starts. Amen. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. And watch this. Is the discerner, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Say a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That level of light can show you things you can't see. People could scream it at you. There are just parts of you, trust me, you're not going to be able to see. But those parts you can't see fuel a lot of actions in your life, a lot of reaction, a lot of behavior patterns that we don't really know are there. There's no sense going to look for all the darkness. That's nothing but flesh. We're not looking for darkness here. We're looking for the glory. Amen. Our eyes are on the glory. Always, always, always have your eyes on the glory. People that start looking into the darkness are always trying to look for something to get out of the way. They get into the wrong flow, the wrong mindset. Does that make sense? Because they're seeking the wrong thing and they're putting their eyes on their flesh all the time. That's not what he's teaching us here. I'm just telling you, there's an operation. It's in the glory. It's in the right hand of God. He talks about being a priest, can be touched by the feeling of your infirmity. He says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. All this is done before him, with him. Amen. All things are naked and open under the eyes of him on whom we have to do. When he removes the veils, the ones that we can't see through. Oh, wow. When he removes those, you can see. And so he opens all of these things. And when he does it with a level of light transformation. It is an operation of God. It's one that he initiates. We don't. Amen. But he initiates. Somebody asked me, well, how do I get him to do that? I'm like, I don't know if you really want that, but you do, but you have to be ready for it. You really do. He prepares you for that. He doesn't take pleasure in it. He's just removing things that are in the way that we can't see. Amen. But the kind of work he does is intensely deep and powerful. And what he's doing, he's moving things out so he can occupy. Amen. And when he occupies these areas, he dwells in them permanently. They're permanently his now. They're permanently a part of you. And then what happens, the Father comes and occupies these areas. The Father, certain things about the Father's, you called up to dwell with him, but for him to dwell with you here, he's going to make room. And the room he's making is the parts of you that are not conquered yet. So that's why he calls you up to where he is to remove the things to make room for him to dwell. Amen. This is what it means actually to be rooted and grounded in his love. Amen. You're rooted and grounded because he's making room. He's pushing out the old, moving in the new. It's a simultaneous operation because if we've been planted together with him, we're also raised together with him. So remember, and if you're going through that, even though you might feel it, all of this is being done out of love. But there's a time you have to kick in your faith. And if you don't kick your faith in, and start understanding, hey, I'm in the middle of this, because that's when he said you could say unto the mountain, be thou removed. You could say to the sycamine tree, be plucked up. You have to actually exercise faith when you're feeling all of that stuff. Does that make sense? You have to exercise faith that you're actually the righteousness of God when you're feeling it, because you don't feel it. And he's requiring that as a part of you have a part to play in. It's not just all him. Amen? As you move into these realms with him, as I'm sure he's going to do as we move further and further, the higher you get in the glory, it's inescapable. The problem is the reason why the church at large doesn't experience a lot of this level, because this level is up in the glory realm. And if you don't get in the glory realm, you probably never even experience this. You will when you get to heaven, though, because your whole life will pass through him. It's better to have it judged here where there's still room for reward. Amen. This is what God wants to do. He wants to fully occupy. A lot of people say, oh, I love God with all my heart. I'll give him everything. It's not possible to give him everything without your high priest. You should write that down. It's not possible to give him everything without the high priest of Christ. He's the only one that actually can give the Father everything, because he's the only one qualified to remove the hidden things. Amen. There are things you just cannot move no matter what you do, no matter how much you pray. You can't reach into those levels that deep, but you can get in front of him where he can. Amen? Because there's a time you move up into God, and this is the question of, hey, well, how do I get him to initiate that? Well, Rick Joyner spoke about the judgment seat of Christ. So he talked about the judgment seat of Christ, and the Lord, when he took him to the judgment seat of Christ, he says, listen, everyone will come here at the end of their life. Your whole life will be judged. The Bible even says, it says, all your works will go before the refiner's fire. If it's wood, hay, and stubble, it'll be burnt. If it's gold, silver, precious stone, it'll survive the fire. So whatever survives the fire, that's what you're rewarded on. He says, but you were wise, he told Rick Joyner, because you asked for my judgments. You asked for this. And because of that, I was able to judge certain things that would not have been judged had you not gone through this process. They would not have survived. You would not have been rewarded on it. Does that make sense? When you get before him, you present your heart to him. Amen? Now remember, most of the time, I'm going to say 95% of the time, we need to just keep our eyes on his glory. Amen? But you go through a cycle with him. And I realize now something he shared with me. It started, I guess, last year. Is I went into, you've probably heard me pray this every once in a while. I'll go into this type of prayer. But I would go into the temple. When I go in, I'd go through the door. And then I get in the door, I see this pavilion of grace. I didn't even see that the first 7 years I prayed. Then he showed me this big pavilion, and I saw these moon arch ceilings of murals that went down a rectangular hallway, and there was this murals of grace. I knew they're murals of grace. I could see them by awareness. I don't know how to explain that. Like I can see that wall over there. I kind of know what's on that wall throughout looking at it. I saw these golden pillars that would line the right and the left, and he'd show me different parts of the throne of grace, and I saw the throne at the end. And then you'll always hear me sometime praying, I walk upon the carpet of red. I started seeing that carpet. And that's a really cool thing for me, because that's what I lock into. See, I'll see that and I'll lock in, I'll start walking on, because I'm locking to the imagery. Amen? And as I lock in that imagery, it keeps me rooted into that. I did that for several years. Just going in and throwing a grace. And all of a sudden, one day, I'm walking on the carpet of red, and I see this pool. It looked like a Grecian pool, almost, the way it was, whatever pool you like. But I saw it, and I kept saying, I'm like, what is that? And it was like, had this amber-colored, kind of golden amber water in it. And I'm like, this is just weird. So I bypassed it, and I kept going in front of it. And every time I go in there it was again. I'm like, what is this? And finally, the Lord said, that is your baptism. I want you to go in there. And I want you to enter into that. And I started doing that. I started moving in, and I'd go past the ankles, past the knees. You ever heard me praying that? I'm actually going into that. And he says, this is the baptism of my death. He goes, but it's for your old man. He goes, I want you to surrender your old man into this every day. And I want you to present. See, you have to give certain permissions to God. More than lip service. It's an action of faith. It's a position of faith. Understand what I just said. Not only is it an action of faith, a position. Do you know what I mean by that? The position is, I can't just say, I give you all. I have to actually bring him all through an action, and I have to be present with him in position. Does that make sense? Well, I'm positioning myself in his death. I'm not just saying, I give you all, I surrender all. I'm positioning myself in a pool, a baptism of his death. Amen. It's hard to understand if you don't understand the old and new. You're not presenting your new man to death. Your new man does nothing but resurrect. That's all he ever knows and all he'll ever know. Amen. You're presenting your old man. You're presenting the parts of you, and I would present it, spirit, soul, and body. I just present spirit, soul, and body for separation, but he's really putting to death the flesh, the body, and the soul that's unregenerated. And I would present it to be crucified, present it to the winnowing fork, present it. And then I would come up out of that water, and I'd come up before his throne of grace and start the progression upwards then at that point. And I just do that every day. And all of a sudden, things start happening in that pool. Amen? Because I was presenting myself by faith to a scriptural position that we have. All of this is done with him. You have to actually get there. You have to be in position with him to do this. It's not going to happen here. He's not going to invade your life with this kind of transformation. It just doesn't do that. He has to have permissions from you and certain levels of maturity from you to do that. You got to get the flesh out of the way. And it's a way to get it. Paul said, I keep my body under. I used to always think he was just keeping it under submission. I realized that he was actually presenting his body into a spiritual position the Lord had already done for him. See, when the Bible says we are dead with Christ, he says the body is dead because of sin. He positionally buried your old man. When you were born again and you went in, all of you went down. It wasn't like your spirit was resurrected and the rest was there, but it is. All of you came up. Your body, your soul, your spirit came up, except your spirit went all the way up into the right hand. It went all the way into a glorified position with God. It was a new creation. Amen? The body wasn't allowed to go all the way up. Why? Because then we wouldn't be able to operate here, right? Right? If he glorified our body, we wouldn't be able to operate here. our body is kind of in a very unique position. It died for the law of sin and death. It died to the old order that was inherited through birth and by Adam. That order died. You are a purchased possession. Glorify God in your spirit and your body, which are God's. He purchased your body. He called it a temple. Do you think God will inhabit a temple with devils? He actually inhabits your spirit, but that's why he's saying, he goes, listen, you're a temple. He goes, glorify God in your body. The body of sin died. Amen. It was destroyed legally. When Paul said, I put my body under, he's doing this by faith. See, what we do, I want you to get this because this is huge. What we don't understand about this Christianity, it all revolves around this thing called faith. But faith revolves around this thing called light. If you don't have light or understanding, your faith can't operate properly. Okay? So what we do is try to perfect ourselves. We have an issue, we discipline ourselves. We struggle and we discipline, we push it down and we hold it back, but it doesn't go away just because we're pushed it down. It's still there. And you have to push certain things down. You can't just let the flesh have a free reign. There is a certain discipline, but there is a higher level that you can operate with where you can actually employ your faith to push that stuff down. Do you understand what I'm saying there? And the way you do that is you first have to understand what I'm saying to you. You have to understand the position your body was actually underwent when you were born again. Your body died. That is a position. You get to deliver your body to that death by faith. I present you to be crucified. I present you to be buried. I present you because the law of sin and death has been buried. So if you got an issue, you can present that to the Lord. You can command that mountain, that sycamine tree, that operation, that stronghold. You can command that thing to be loosed from you. You can command that thing to be plucked up and cast into the sea of what? Baptism. You can command those things to be moved out of the way. Amen? You can loose them from your life. Providing you're not operating in unworthiness or guilt or shame or condemnation. So you got to get that off of you while you're doing this. It's kind of a dynamic, isn't it? But there's a realm you can operate in faith where you can literally, that's what Paul said, I keep my body under, I decree it, and I bury it daily. So he says, I die daily. I die daily. And so what happens, and I've seen this, and this is very important you get this part. When we get in the die daily, I did this. I understand that there's a whole realm there you can get into where you start taking on your whole person needs to die daily. I actually watched this on Christian TV and God TV the other night. I'm not going to say who. It's a very large ministry. They had all their leaders on the platform and they were all talking and they're all trying to perfect themselves. And they're all talking about how they're perfecting themselves in Christ. And they're all talking about how they need to be more and more open. So these people are just spilling their stuff. And everyone's spilling this one lady just starts wailing and crying and right in front of everybody. I'm like, and what they're doing is thinking if I can just tell everybody my stuff, that's somehow going to cleanse me. And they were just confessing all kinds of stuff and it got really weird. But to me, it did not feel right because and they said, we got to die. We're not here to live. We're here to die. We're here. But I did this. I went through a lot of this and you get this dying mentality all the time. You got to walk around, you know, clothed in sackcloth and ashes and just die, die, never live, never live. That is not what this is about. And if you do that, you'll be miserable and it won't produce change because your eyes are focused on the wrong part. Amen. You're focused in the wrong bar. We are called to live. If I die with him, I also live with him. If I'm planted together in the likeness of his death, I'm also raised in the likeness of his resurrection. This all happens in a day, but I spend probably 10% of my time burying the old man, 90% of my time in the resurrection. But I do present him every day to his death because he needs it. The old man, attitudes of the heart, you know, whatever the case you present it, but I don't live and walk around clothed in sackcloth and ashes and look at all the pins I'm going through. I'm dying daily. Look at all the stuff I'm going through. I'm not living in my warfare. I'm living in His glory. My eyes are always, 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 always fixed on the glory, the prize, the high calling. If you don't have the mountain of God, all you do is just live in death all the time, and you're just living in this sorrow of heart all the time, and you're clothing yourself in depression. You're clothing, and they didn't even have any life on them. I saw it. There wasn't life there. There wasn't joy in there. They're all just talking like they knew something, but I could just tell they're missing the mark because they're trying to lead people in the flesh to try to perfect themselves. You cannot do that. We have to employ the weapon of our warfare. The weapon of our warfare is mighty through God, not the weaponry of what we come up with to try to perfect ourselves. That's futile. To do that, that's what Paul said, the law can't perfect you. Why do you think you're going to perfect you? Christ is our perfection. He is our perfector. And we can understand these operations. He can perfect us as we go, but our eyes are always, always, always on the glory. Amen? But when he goes through that, I'm telling you, you might go through a season like this. But the result is just to carve out, bury an old part of you so the new man can live. That's ultimately what he wants, is the image of Christ, not the image of your flesh. He's not looking for the image of death, you walking around in death, because God is not death, God is life. The only death you're going to incur is the death of the old man. You want him dead anyway. Amen? He's not taking your new man and crucifying him. That's the image of Christ. He does, you write that down, he does not crucify the image of Christ in you. So don't walk around like you're a crucified person all the time, because you get that on you, you wear the wrong stuff. Got to be careful with that, because you walk around wrong. You want to wear that. Understand that's why he divides it. He divides spirit, soul, joint and marrow. Joint and marrow is the body. He divides it out for a reason, because he's going to crucify one part and he's going to raise one part. He does all that where he is at his throne of grace. He opens the heart, buries one part, raises one part. But he does not take the old man and cloak him into the new man. He doesn't cover you with his shame, guilt, condemnation, this death mentality, crucified mentality, where you walk around in sackcloth and ashes all the time. He doesn't do that. He doesn't want that part on you. That's why he separates it in the first place. He's the only one that can do it. Amen. When you get that, you'll walk around in life. I mean, I've seen it. I'm telling you, I've seen it. We grew up in it, and it was like, oh, it's about dying to self, dying to self, dying to self. I'm like, are we ever going to live? And I realize after all these years, it's very hard to die to self. The only one that can put self down is the Lord. You're not going to put him down with your works. You're not going to put him down with all the stuff we do. It doesn't matter how much we wail or cry. If we're doing it in his presence, when he's orchestrating it, he'll get it done. What we need to do is just get in front of him and stay in front of him. Amen. But when you see us go and I speak about that pool, I'm taking my old man in that pool. He's separating the elements there. He separates, that's why he said that the word of God is quick. He's going to separate spirit, soul, joint, and marrow, and he's going to start the dividing process, the burial of the old man, the resurrection of the new. Amen? And so for once come out of that water, everything's about the new man. I mean, clothed in righteousness, clothed in the lily, clothed in the tree of life, clothed in the Father's love. All is about the new man. I'm not being crucified anymore after that. You'll get that properly. Now, what happens is you get up in the glory realm, it'll initiate sometime what we call this operation of the winnowing fork, where he's now ready to move something out for your graduation, for your promotion. Amen? Or sometimes if you reached an accountability like I did in ministry, where I had a situation mounting the controls. What happened was, it went on and on and on, but it was, my heart kept seeking him, seeking him, seeking him, but I couldn't see that. And what happened, it reached a place of accountability. It couldn't allow to remain. So he initiated a baptism, a fire, winnowing fork for 50 days it took him. That fire burned all day long. All it did was burn the chaff, praise God. But when it came out of that, he destroyed that whole stronghold. Isn't that glorious? Let's give him glory. Hallelujah. And because he did, it qualified us for higher levels. Because we would have never made it. Chuck knew it too. He said, if we not got that, we would not have been able to go to the crown. Amen. There's always something, glory to God. But he doesn't fellowship with you like that. I mean, that was 3 years ago since I did that. It's not like this is going to happen every other day. He doesn't want you in that mentality zone in the first place. But when he does, just know, the Bible says he will thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor. He's thorough. He's going to separate all the wheat. That's the new man in the garner, in the barn. He's going to separate all the chaff, present it to the unquenchable fire. Man, when that starts burning, woo! You ever put wood on a fire? Put cedar on a fire? Man, a cedar will crack and pop, and it's like it burns right through it. And it's like, the more chaff, the greater the fire. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. So we are glory, right-handed minded people. Amen. We're right, amen. We're glory, right-handed minded people, but you have to understand their operations when we're moving in the realm of glory that causes those things to initiate and move out of the way. I wouldn't go asking God to judge you generally. I wouldn't say that. When you ask for the judgment of God, when you understand a lot of people's mindset on judgment is God's going to come in and judge him. That's not that kind of judgment. It's not going to happen publicly, number one. It's going to happen privately. He's not judging you. He's judging your old man out of love to produce the new man. A lot of people got the wrong line of judgment. Like, I'm not going to ask God to judge me because I'm afraid of his judgments in the first place. And if you get the wrong image of God, you don't understand what I'm saying by judgment. You don't understand. He's not judging you as in wrath. This is a judgment of love. This is a judgment of the old man, not you. He's an accepting your new man. He's accepts all the time. You're running people with two different personalities. You have Christ in them and you have the old man. Amen. Now, what happens is, if you're really solid, you'll see Christ in them, but sometimes you'll see Christ in somebody the most amazing, and then the other part of them is, oh my God, where did that person come from? Because their old man has not been cut down, and they're both there. Amen? The dangerous ones sometimes are the ones that it's Christ in them, but they got a very dangerous, dangerous old man underneath them. You won't see sometime till you get it in leadership. God is accepting that new man. Jesus is always fellowshipping with the new man. Even if the old man's in the way, the Lord's always accepting the new. So what he's initiating the judgment on is not the new. And you've got to be able to divide that when you're operating like this. You have to realize when you operate, you have to start, this is not me. That's the first thing I say. I agree. Lord, I confess this, I acknowledge it. When you go through your repentance, I'm not going to sit there and live in it after that. Even though I'm feeling it every day, I start saying, this is not me. I break all agreement with this now. I break agreement with the feelings, thoughts, structures. I break agreement. If you don't break agreement, you're living in the motion. I start breaking agreement. I command this sycamore tree now to be plucked up and moved out. I command this mountain to be plucked up and moved out. Because I start the initiation of faith. Remember where I started about faith? Because I'm going to move that thing with him by faith. We're moving that out now. He brought it to service. He's burning up. And I am now breaking the agreement. If I start agreeing with it, I'm getting clothed with it all the time. I'm breaking his process. I'm working against him because now I'm working in guilt, shame, condemnation, grief, self-pity, all this. So I'm all up in the wrong process. Because I'm agreeing with all this and I'm feeling the thoughts and I'm agreeing and I'm this, I'm that, and this, all of that's happening with me. And so it's like nothing's happening because I'm not in the right framework now. Once I go through the repentance, yes, you have to pour that out to him. Yes, you have to acknowledge that was a part of you. Now you have to acknowledge that that's been buried. You have to make a shift. If you make the shift, said, this now is buried, this is not me, this is the old man, you divided the son to the old man, I present him to his burial now. I present him to be buried with you in baptism. I present him to his death, because legally, you have no right to exist in me now. Legally, you have been buried in baptism. I have been raised, my body was raised, and you have no right to exist and operate within my body. Or my soul. Amen? Have to make that shift. If you don't, you get caught up in your stronghold. You're working against his process, not with it. This is high level stuff, but you're high level people. Amen. This stuff right here will cause a transformation like no other transformation. a platform to operate in the continuous glory of God, a platform for the hundredfold operation of God. Amen? The dismantling and remantling is something you do on a daily basis. I'm just surrendering, like I'll dismantle the old, I'll dismantle heaviness, all that, as much as I can take off, right? This is a little deeper because he's actually removing something underneath. Amen. He's going underneath into the heart. He's going into the root systems, because a lot of times what you're dealing with is a fruit, not a root. A lot of times what you feel, most 90% of all the times you're struggling with it, something is not the root. It's a fruit. You'll never ever change by just plucking the fruit off the tree. You have to get to the tree. Only he can do that. Amen. So if you're struggling with something continuously all the time, same struggle, present the struggle to him. Ask him to judge that part of your old man. That's why I got into this in the first part. Don't just be saying, judge me, God. Don't go up and do that. That is not wise. That's like asking for patience. God, give me patience. God, teach me to love. Those are just prayers you really just better off not praying. I don't ask God to teach me patience. I'm already going to be taught enough. I definitely don't want him helping me. So you don't go say, judge me, God. I don't do that. What I do if I have an issue, a struggle, a particular fruit I'm dealing with, I bring that. I said, this is a part of probably a much larger operation. Judge this. Judge my old man in this. Bring to light the hidden things of my old man. I bring that before him. I don't just do a roundabout prayer with him. So pray specifically, present specifically, and realize what you're presenting. You have to make the change. I'm going to drill this one more time. You have to differentiate. This is not you. Once the repentance phase is over, once he reveals it, once you repent of it, you have to break allegiance with it at that point. You have to break covenant. You have to realize this is not me as a mind new man. This now, it positionally is buried. This is no more me. I break agreement with the thoughts, feelings, actions, reactions, behavior patterns. I break agreement. When they come up, I break agreement. I break agreement. I break covenant with you. I command you to be loosed. I use the keys to the kingdom. I say, I command you to be loosed from my heartstrings. I command you to be loosed from my flesh. I command you to be loosed from my soul. I command this house to crumble. Amen? You have to speak to it at that point. If you're not willing to do that, you probably don't need to be in this realm, because you have to exercise faith. It's awesome. The change is awesome. It's awesome. He gets it. He's thorough. He can change. People say people don't change. Oh, they do. In front of him, they will. He can do it, though. Don't try to do it yourself. Just because you confessed all your stuff in front of everybody, what they're trying to do, you know what that is? That is a spirit trying to produce the transparency that only God can produce. If it's a spirit, it's trying to produce, it's a counterfeit transparency. Trying to produce transparency, but what it's going to do is work against people. It's a false veil, and it's trying to produce a transparent. God alone produces that transparency with you alone. Listen, God wants to do this. God is not in the exposing business. Well, he exposes people, yeah, but when time God starts exposing somebody, it's probably because he's tried to deal with them for 20 or 30 years on an issue, or they got into a realm of God that they weren't ready for. Amen? And they had issues, and they were unrepentant things. And if God can't work with you privately, then it goes there. But that's, you just got to understand that you as a parent wouldn't do that. If your kids went through that, you wouldn't go put them in front of everybody. Okay, we're going to tell everybody what you just went through. What's that going to do for him but clothe him in shame? So what is God going to do? Promise us liberty and then put us in front of everybody and clothe us in shame? Love covers the multitude of sins or offenses. God covers. It doesn't mean that he excusing it, but he's covering it. He's working with you. He knows that stuff was there when you were born again. Tell everybody, oh, I'm going to get free now because I told you my stuff. Do you honestly think because I told you my stuff, I'm going to walk out there any more free than I was? You'll feel better that day, maybe. But then what's going to happen? It's still there. That is not true transparency. All things are naked and open before the Lord, before the throne of grace, the one who could love you through that properly. And nobody can love you like he does because he's totally, as the administration of your high priest, he is absolutely 100% non-judgmental. You have to understand going in, you're for me. You're for me. Even when you're feeling all this, I would say, you're for me here. I know this is you. I know you're uprooting this old man. I know I'm feeling this way. And I command this stuff to be plucked up, but I know you love me. I'm accepted in you. And because all that stuff was getting flushed out, it didn't change who I was in the new man. It was just cutting away the old. Amen. You get these parts, you'll understand how God works with you. You can get into a transformation with him and start moving fast. Amen? Praise God. Don't go walking around in his death here. That's not what that's about. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't walk around in the baptism of death here. That's what people take up his cross, walk around and die all the time. No, you do that with him. And you live with him too. Amen? And he makes you a free person because of it. He says the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. Amen.